No, when I said to the kids about calling people names, one nice thing I like about election year, you hear more names than you really care to quote. Don't you? Heaven's sakes above. Blessed are the stupid. I saw that on somebody's bumper once. I think that's probably the best thing I could think of. Blessed are the stupid. Yes, we are. No, but labels and attachments. And the scripture we're going to be reading is one where there is an attachment because we do it. I heard a lot of sidebar comments after all the shootings last week. Some rather nasty stuff from Christians. And I thought, what a nice time to start calling names and stuff. I don't really have, I don't think in my bone, hatred, really. And I don't really think I have prejudice because I wasn't raised with it. And it's hard for me to understand anybody or any people, any group. And some are my best friends. One's a next-door neighbor who's got particular prejudices that I don't understand, but I'm not going to argue with him. It's not worth it. It really isn't. Someone said that we have inborn prejudices that we grow with. Do you remember the song from South Pacific, "You've Got to Be Taught to Hate and Fear"? You've got to be carefully taught before you're six or seven or eight. You've got to be carefully taught. Well, it's true. And I was reading one book where the psychologist said that we have all of these ingrained things that come out as we grow older, which is rather frightening, which had to do with the screwball that did all the shooting in Orlando, or any of the nutcases that do mass shootings. Something springs, it goes off, and we can't explain it. But we have labels, and they have labels, and we've got labels, and I bet all of you have labels too. I've got labels for some of my neighbors. Actually, I have some labels for some Presbyterians that I know, as a matter of fact. No, not really. Not really. This scripture is very interesting because it could go any number of ways in terms of a sermon. And I don't really think I've used it very much in my 50, almost 54 years, which is saying something. But we're looking at Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. And you'll see in your Bibles, it's the healing of a demon-possessed man. And it's an interesting one because it shows about labeling a person who's different from us. And it shows a real hatred that's hard to define that Jesus has to deal with. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs, the caves and the rocks around Galilee. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he'd broken his chains and been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him and they begged him separately not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who'd seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. It's an interesting story. It really is. This story from Luke, it's about a man with some very profound behavior problems. He was very difficult to be around, and because of this, he was really shut off from the community for a long time. Sounds like most of his life. And they chained him in a cemetery, a very rocky region there in Galilee. And they called him demonic. He was labeled there for the rest of his life until Jesus. Now, how often do we do this to people who are different from us in our society? How often do we do it? I wonder how often we assign labels to people that we aren't sure of, that don't think the way we do, that don't talk the way we do. How often do we dehumanize people because of the way they live? How often do we label people to build up our superiority, how wonderful we are? Think about it. The community in our lesson had isolated this poor screwball guy in such a way that they could ignore him and control him at the same time. We don't want him where we are, but we'll put him someplace where we know he's safe in our mind. And so that's what they did. They solved their problem. They solved their problem. They built their wall, and they isolated this poor, poor, pitiful person. They improved their own lives by putting a pain aside. If you don't see him, if you don't hear him, all's well. My life is better. That's what they were saying. He was labeled demonic. He wasn't worthy of living in their society, and we don't know anything about him except Jesus knew that he was more than a labeled person, more than some poor, pitiful being who'd been left over in that corner of away from reality and away from society. They knew this, and this is what Jesus said. He was a human in pain, and he could be healed. Now, the neat part of the story, and I said, you know, this has several ways that we could go. The pigs fit the story well, because if you're telling the story to Judaism or you're telling it to Arabs or Muslims, you're making a lot of sense out of the story, because they don't like pigs. Pigs are bad. And so the pigs deserve to get the demons, and the pigs deserve to drown. That's not the point. Because the point of the story is that the man went from confinement to freedom. He went from being isolated to being a part of what society really was. Meanwhile, the community went from contentment to fear. They were afraid of what Jesus had done. Good Lord, there may have been some other people in society like that. What if he goes interfering and healing them as well? What if he makes them well and makes them like us? What would we do? How would we react? I believe Jesus came not only to heal a person, but an entire community. They needed to be healed. They needed to be healed far more than that one poor man from the need to control, the need to contain, the need to what? Stay prejudiced, stay hateful. They needed that. See, I said there was another part to the story. Jesus taught something wonderful in this lesson. And I thought about it really during the week. What did he teach us? There are people that are different than us that we'd like to stay away from. But he taught a hospitality and a love toward human beings that you really can't define, that you can't identify someone else according to your own perceived categories of bigotry or prejudice or stigma or judgment. You can't do that. It's not healthy for you, and it's sure not healthy for them. A hard lesson to learn? Oh yeah, it's not isolating someone to reinforce your own self-image. When I look at this lesson here, he teaches a new kind of hospitality, you see, that had never really been offered before. And Jesus did it with love, and he did it with compassion and understanding. And the whole person became different. And the hope would have been there that the whole community would have been different too, because they looked upon him as one of us. A little bit different, but one of us. Jesus healed the man from demons. He offered the community a healing from sickness and from prejudice. And, you know, it's a good lesson for us all from thinking that we have to change others to be more like us. That we have to change others to be anything but themselves. May we be healed from our need to isolate others with labels. That would be a good prayer for a nation, don't you think? From getting away from labels, judgment calls. We don't feel good when we do it. Remember when I asked the kids, what do you feel like when someone does something like that? Not good. Not good. Thankfully, we believe in a God who is secure enough to welcome and heal individuals and communities and even a world that finds themselves too often judgmental. Amen. God, we're grateful for your Spirit and your love. We're grateful for the way you touch our lives. We're grateful that you make us different in so many ways. And for the Spirit of Christ that can accept all of the ways. All of the ways. We are as your creation. Amen.